two announcements before we get started today with the message. The first is, if you did not receive a little communion kit when you came in, if you want to participate in communion using those kits, they are outside at the giving stations. They're still available for you. But today, as we did last month, people will come forward and receive communion, as has been our custom post-pandemic. We'll have two lines that come down. If you enter this way and come with two lines, this way will be out of your way. And then you come forward, take a piece of bread, and then we have the cup, and then partake, and then return to your seats using the side aisle. And we find that works really well here for our contemporary service. So anyway, that's the communion piece. Also, next Sunday is Dedication Sunday for our stewardship giving for the coming year, 2023. And so many of you may have received a envelope and a stewardship card in the mail. If you haven't, we have had our volunteers to stuff the pews with them. They're available in the pews and also at the giving stations and in the office. But next Sunday, you will be invited to come forward and touch the font in an act of rededication of your life to Christ on Dedication Sunday. If you have your pledge cards ready to turn in, there'll be a basket here in the front to turn in, or you can turn them in as soon as you are able. And I mentioned last Sunday the importance of this, especially coming out of the pandemic and seeing more and more people return to worship. That's really healthy. That's really good. I have tried not to be anxious over the years at stewardship season. I have tried to model three words, and those words are ask, thank, and tell. My model has come from a book I read about a decade ago or more, to ask people during the stewardship season to plan about four sermons talking about the need for giving our time, talents, and resources to the church, and then spend the rest of the year thanking people and telling them what we're doing in mission. And that's the model if you've been watching. Ask, thank, and tell. I picked that up over the years because one church I was in, someone said to me, you know, every Sunday seems to be like a fundraiser. And I'm glad we have not had to do that in this church. We ask, we thank, and we tell what we are doing in mission and ministry. In saying that, I hope you'll consider turning in your pledge cards next week as we continue to plan a budget for the coming year. This is the third sermon in the stewardship series called To Live Upside Down. I'll go back and explain that series for those who haven't been here. This sermon is entitled The Givers Are Receivers. And I'll be reading from Luke chapter 6, verses 24 to 38. These are some pretty daring things, some challenging things that Jesus says to us. It would take some time to try to explain all of them, and so the weight of the sermon falls in verse 38, and I'll point that out as I come to it. But listen now as I read from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much gain. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, but merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Here ends the reading. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for your words. We are amazed and challenged by them. To turn the other cheek, to do good to those who mistreat us, those are challenging words. But help us to reflect upon your words and apply them to our lives, for we ask that in your name, amen. Well, other than our text this morning, I would encourage you to look at Acts chapter 17. If you read the book of Acts, in chapter 17, you read that Paul and Silas had been proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and Christ crucified for our sins to the crowds in Thessalonica. And the Jewish authorities were searching for Paul and Silas because they had caused so much commotion from their teachings. And when they couldn't find Paul and Silas, what they did was they rounded up others who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. They brought them before the authorities in Thessalonica, and they accused them of turning the world upside down. That's where this topic, the theme for this series, comes from. Called to turn the world upside down. And the question is, as people of faith, are we seeking to do that? Are we doing that with our lives and how we spend our time and our resources? Are we lifting up those who are humble and seeking to exalt them? Well, Jesus' teachings, they often turn the world upside down, and those who follow his teachings will do the same. Like in our reading this morning, you see, as we talked about on the first Sunday of this series, Jesus uses paradoxes. He said that the weak people are really those who are strong, and that the blind people, those are the ones that can see. It's the sighted ones, we said last week, who are blind. These upside-down ways of seeing life are described by Jesus. I'm challenged by this one. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. That's opposite from the way that we have been taught. We're taught to defend ourselves, right? Well, on this third Sunday of this stewardship series, we are called to live upside down. And for those who have not been here, I want to remind you, on the first Sunday of this series, we examined how the proud get humbled and how the humble are exalted. And then last week, as I mentioned, we noticed how those who are blind are the ones that often can see, and often those who are sighted are those who are truly blind. And this week, Jesus tells us that those who give are the ones who are really the getters. Jesus says that the secret of life is that if you want to get something out of living at whatever age you are, 20, 40, 60, 80, 90, 100, and we have all those here at Northwood, the key to life is not in accumulating things. It's in giving them away. Yesterday, we had the pleasure of seeing some old church members from Northwood at Alyssa's wedding over at Lithia. My, that's a drive, I can tell you. But Dr. and Mrs. Patel were there, Hyten and Melissa Patel. You may remember them. When they left, so did our Sunday school about 8 years ago. And then we had their bill back, and we're doing that again now. But they have Bryson and Kaysen and Griffin and Holden and Niden and Weston, and they may have had more since they left here. But it was fun to see Melissa and Hyten. Melissa said, you know, she said, after this pandemic, it's so important. And she was so passionate about this. I said, you should come and do the stewardship time tomorrow. And her husband, Hyten, said the same thing. You should go over. And but they had to get back to all the kids, right? From 9 to 19 years of age. Starting the first grade and now one a freshman in college. My, we almost ran out of water baptizing that group. But she went on, she said, after this pandemic, people need to do things. We need to get out and serve others. She said, I get such a kick out of doing Meals on Wheels. She said, they always thank me when I leave, and I always say, no, thank you. This has meant so much to me to come and bring food to you. That's her attitude about giving of herself and what it can do for us. Well, the secret of life is not in accumulating. And that's backward from the way the world teaches. We are conditioned to think about happiness, to think about fulfillment in terms of getting love, getting money, getting status. That's what we're often taught to do by the world. It's many times the way we're raised is to go out and make yourself, right? But have you ever noticed how in advertisements or in commercials, those who are consuming something, those who have status or those who are drinking an alcoholic beverage or wearing a fancy watch or driving a flashy car or wearing new clothes, these are the values of our age. They're about getting and status. It's what the world teaches. And I want to say this very clearly here because I don't want you to be confused. I do this each year when I preach a stewardship series. Jesus does not say here that anything about the things that I mentioned in the negative about status, that these are wrong, that these don't bring pleasure. They often very much do. Travel and cruises are wonderful things, going to concerts. Hard work does have its rewards. And rewards worked for are to be enjoyed. I was raised by parents who taught me to work hard, that nothing comes easy. And I have tried to live by that. But I have also learned over the years, and perhaps you have as well, to truly find joy and lasting meaningfulness in life. Ultimately, it comes from giving back, not from getting or taking. And Jesus offers an outstanding promise here in verse 38, and it is not a symbolic promise. It is a literal promise the way it reads. He says, and this is from another translation of the New Testament, give and it will be given to you, shaken together, running over, and put back into your lap. And one translation even says, into your pocket. Give and you will get back. Now, we don't give in order to get back, but that's what Jesus is saying is how this works. One commentary said that this teaching of our Lord comes from farming. That's where it comes, that when the farmer went out to sow crops, if the farmer was meager in throwing seeds, then the farmer and his family and others received a meager crop. But if the farmer went out and was prodigal and shared seeds in abundance, he got a bumper crop almost every time. It is in those with a giving spirit who are the real receivers in life. And that's the upside-down surprise in this particular passage. The givers are the receivers. Do you believe that? Do you believe that those who give are those who truly get? If you believe in it, then what do givers receive that takers don't get? Well, note with me first that the person who is the giver will receive a healthy and wholesome spirit in return. You should remember, as we go from here today, the word miser is just the short form for the word miserable. And study after study, I could refer to you today if I had time, would point out to you the statistical facts that unselfish, generous, kind people have less anxiety and less worrisome diseases. And on the contrary, studies point out that those who are afraid to give or those who are loath to give or hoard, they often become hardened and lonely, complaining people, feeling that they have been left out on the joys of life. Another way to say this is look at the Greek word in the Bible for servant. The Greek word for servant in the Bible, there actually are two of them. One is diakonos, and that's where we get the word for deacon, servant, deacon. Our deacons in this church, they're happy, and they're a healthy bunch of people here at Northwood. And if you haven't been one before and you're asked by the nominating committee, you should say, what? Yes, I'll serve. Then the second word for that word, servant, in the Greek, it's instructive because it's the word therapon. It's one of my favorite words in the New Testament, therapon, servant. The best therapy, in other words, is in helping someone else. Give and you shall receive. Overflowing in your lap, it will be returned. So by now, at this point in the sermon, I'm halfway finished. And you can see I'm absolutely convinced at this point that the happiest, most contented people you and I know are the ones who build their lives around giving and helping others. The question is, how do you do it? How do you do it? Well, people do it in a lot of ways. They give to the community, they give to their church, they help others in some way. We're doing that in South Florida right now. We've been doing it in giving to people in Ukraine, the refugees, and in other ways. And you should also know we have a joyful, happy session meeting at our church on most occasions. We have a good group of elders, and there is a general spirit of laughter and enjoyment, I think, in those meetings. To be an elder or deacon in this church is a joyful experience. There, I've said it again, the nominating committee is at work. And I pray you will consider, if you are asked, to serve. I say this because the future of Christ's church, as we rise out of this pandemic, will be in people who dedicate their time and their talents to help us do just that. God needs you to serve. And this church needs you to serve. As you go from here, know that I tell all of our staff members, feel needed because you are. Well, recently we were required by the Pinellas County School System because of our aftercare program. We often, if it rains, we have to take the large van and go and pick up students from Lila Davis Elementary School. And we were required to put on the van a sleeping child alarm. And what this means is once the driver finishes the run to pick up 40-odd children at Lila Davis and bring them over here in the pouring rain, he's required to get up and go to the back of the bus and press a button. And if the button is not pressed, that alarm on that van is loud and it will go on and on and on until that button is pressed. And a couple of weeks ago, I was at Cedar Kirk and I heard the news all the way over there that the installer had finished and not told me. And so when Keith Nadig went over to St. Mark's Village and picked up some of the older adults there and came back to church that Sunday, you heard when he pulled in the lot. The better story is the older adults laughed all the way down US 19. They passed three patrol cars and not a one of them pulled them over. You can imagine in the briefing of the Pinellas County Police Department, okay, officers, beginning in January, all these preschool buses and vans, they have to have alarms, and so you'll probably hear some idiot going down US 19, burr, burr, don't stop them, it's just an alarm. And Keith, you just had a great experience out of that, didn't you? Well, out of that in our discussion, to tell you how they go in our session meetings, one of our elders said, he quipped, well, that just reminds us of the bumper sticker. If you love Jesus, honk. And I said, no, that's not the word during stewardship season. The bumper sticker we should all have on our cars is, anybody can honk. If you love Jesus, tithe. Tithe. That's the way Presbyterians put it. Well, secondly, note with me that a giving person has a noble spirit. They are human in the best sense. There's some anthropologists and sociologists who now claim that it is, get this, generosity that sets us apart from the animal world. Generosity. Dr. Richard Leakey, he tells us that what separates us from the chimps and the baboons, like I'll say it right in a minute, the apes, is not our intelligence, but rather it is generosity. He goes on to say that it is sharing, not hunting and gathering, but sharing that defines us. The survival of the fittest, that was the theory of Charles Darwin. But Dr. Leakey responded with the theory, the survival of the generous. The survival of the generous. Think about it. Is it competition or is it generosity that ensures our survival and our human qualities? Perhaps it's some of both. It's something to think about. But the one thing that is underscored here, God does not call us to be loners or misers or hoarders or hug our talents to ourselves or keep our possessions to ourselves. We are at our very best as human beings when we are giving ourselves away. Give, give, give. Give of your time, your talents, and your resources. Claim the gift of how God has made you, you see. Third, it is among those who give, I believe, who are the most joyous in life. There is simply nothing like the joy of serving a cause that is greater than yourself. And not all giving, for example, does that. I conducted a funeral for a man some years ago at a funeral home. He was not a member of any church, and so I asked his wife and his family what was significant about his life. I didn't know him. I said, can you tell me how he spent his time and his finances? Can you tell me how he did that? So I can share that at the service. And the wife said, honestly, I can say to you, Pastor, he spent his time and his money on professional sporting events. We almost never saw him. He was always away going to some event. And she said, the names of the teams I want you to mention in the service because the jerseys of every team he supported will be there by his casket at the front. True story. And the question is, what did he really give his life to in helping others from his resources? Ah, but giving persons, they serve a cause that's bigger than themselves, bigger than they are. In the traditional service, I think this is helpful to note, we sing what is called in the traditional service the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. We sing that every week. And the question I have for you this morning is, what else on this earth would we sing to or about or give ourselves to in life that we can say is now and ever shall be, world without end? We can't say that about AT&T. We can't say that about stocks and bonds and whatever. Ah, but Jesus Christ and His church and love for neighbor and our lives devoted to Christ, that's worth singing about. That's worth giving your life to. And so, friends, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, if you would like to be like Jesus and grow in His teachings, then make your life a gift to the world. Let us pray as we come to the table. O Lord and our God, we learn from your teachings this morning that the givers are truly the receivers. And as we come to this table, we remember that you gave your life as a ransom for many. Indeed, you also said to us to come to you, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and you will give us rest. You remind us that you are the bread of life, and that whoever comes to you will never be hungry. Whoever comes to you will never thirst. And so, Lord, we pray that your goodness and mercy now as we stand at this table, that we will become dependent upon them, dependent upon your grace and your gifts. Show us how to be gifts for all of your people as we break the bread and share the cup. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one with you in body and spirit. We pray this through Christ our Lord as we come now to remember Jesus' words at the Lord's table. It's in His name we come. Amen. Friends, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, of it. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Our elders can come forward, our officers to serve at this time. Just come.